Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we are going to be learning Korach Shishi, the sixth Aliyah in Parshas Korach. Our Aliyah has a sum total of 24 psukim and can be found from Perek Yudzayin Chafhei to Perek Yudches Pasuk Chaf. The main idea of our Aliyah is the 24 gifts of Kahuna. Let's do a basic overview and then we'll come back to some points to ponder. Basic ideas we see over here is Hashem tells Moshe to take the staff of Aaron and place it in front of the ark, in front of the Aaron, as a sign to those who would rebel that their complaints should be annulled and they should not die. That's the first thing that happens. Moshe does so. Then Israel turns to Moshe and says, "Look, you know, we're going to all die. all the Bnei Israel says, Govanu, hang Govanu, Avadnu, Kulanu, Avadnu. We're all dying because we're going to come close to the Mishkan and be hurt." So in response to this, Hashem turns to Aaron and his sons, and he says that they will bear the sins of the Mikdash. He also tells the Levim that they need to be brought in so they serve with the Kohanim to protect the Mishkan and the Mizbeach, so that no foreign person, Zara Karev, you must, that no one should come by and get who should not be there, Yisrael at the wrong time, and God forbid, be killed by heaven. This is to prevent further anger. And Hashem reaffirms the closeness of the Levim and the Kohanim by explaining that they actually receive special gifts. So he tells Aaron that he has some of the gifts that he's going to receive. We hear about Zifchei Shalmei Tzibur, parts of the sacrifices which are given to the community. There is Gezel Hager. That means to say that if a person steals from a convert who has no relatives and that person dies, and there's no one to return the item to, it goes to the Kohen. There's also Kodesh Kadashim, which means certain higher level meats, which are brought as a sacrifice. Certain parts of those are eaten. We have Truma Gedola, that's a part of the grain, about a 50th of the grain that a person gets from the field. One gives to the Kohen as Truma Gedola. Then there's the idea of Chazei V'shoik, which is the chest and the thigh of the animal which is brought, is given to the Kohen. We also have the grains and the oils which go to the Kohen, the Bikurim which go to the Kohen, the Cherem, which means designated portions of land or items which are given to the Kohen, firstborn animals which are non-kosher need to be redeemed, firstborn kosher animals are brought to the Mizbeach, and the Chazei and Shoik, the thigh and the chest go to the Kohen, and also firstborn human beings are redeemed to the Kohanim. So we hear about a whole list of those gifts given to the Kohanim. And we're told that a few conditions apply, and that is that anybody who's pure in the Kohen's house can eat it. So it's not just the Kohen, but it's anybody in their house. So if a Yisraelite woman marries a Kohen, she is part of his house, she can eat from it, and that everybody has to be pure to eat it. And finally, we're told that the Kohen did not have a place in the Chelek V'Nachla, they did not have a place of land in Israel, because Hashem is their inheritance. This is a summary of the Aliyah. A few basic points to ponder. Number one, why is the staff of Aaron set in the Kodesh Kodashim if it's meant to be a remembrance for all of Bnei Yisrael? Surely nobody's really going in there to see that remembrance. So the Malbim says the sign is both about Aaron and Shevet Levi, about the uniqueness of Aaron's name and the Shevet Levi because it was his staff. The Nitziv explains why specifically in the Kodesh Kodashim, because it's less about making people remember. That's what the Mizbeach, and the reason why the Mizbeach has those Rikuei Pachim, which are the covers of the pans of those who are in Korach's community, rather it's actually about it is about reminding HaKadosh Baruch Hu that latent in potential Bnei Yisrael are people who are not necessarily bad people. These are just a small group. It's so to speak more of a reminder to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are they still nervous about getting killed after all of this? Wasn't it clear that Korach and his community died because they were fighting against Hashem and his representatives? Why are they so worried now? So the Rashbam explains they have not yet received the command that Zara Karev you must, that anybody who comes close will die. So they just don't know. They think it's a minefield. Wherever they go, they're going to die. So they have to be told that, no, it's within these parameters you're allowed to, and these parameters you're not allowed to. Rashi explains that they were concerned that a regular fellow coming to the Mishkan might step over the line and be killed. So they said, like, you know, it's going to be terrible, which is why the answer to that was that the Kohanim and the Levim will be responsible for that. They'll be take responsibility for making sure that the regulations will be kept, and they'll bear the responsibility themselves. And finally, the Malbim explains that now that they saw the power the Mishkan has, and saw how much power is vested in the Mishkan, which is relatively new, they became very nervous, and therefore they don't even want to enter the Mishkan, which is why this needs to be set up now. Another question. Why is the next step of Zarak or Yumas? Why is that the next step? Here Rashi explains that the Kohanim bear the responsibility for problems that happen in the Mishkan. They were concerned. Bnei Yisrael were concerned. Well, we're the victims, yeah, of all of this holiness. And Hashem says, no. The ones who are the overseers are, in fact, they're going to be the ones who are responsible, and therefore they will bear the consequences if there's a problem. Now, why are the matnos kohanim? Why are all these gifts to the kohanim being enumerated in our aliyah? Rashi brings a mashal, a parable where a king gives a field to his friend, but then somebody lays claim to that field and says, it belongs to me, and starts squatting and it wants to take it away. So the king says, you know what? Okay, you forced me to. I'm going to write out a court order. I'm going to send a note to the court. He has the title deed of the land, and this is who it really belongs to. So Hashem says, you know what? Up till now, you were distrusting the kohanim. You thought the kohanim were in it for themselves. Well, I'll send a title deed and I'm going to write out, these are the things you owe them because I demand that you serve them. I demand that you give them the honor required to give them. That's why the Matnas Kohen are being reaffirmed over here. In fact, how many are there? So in total, Rashi quotes, there are 24 Matnos Kohuna, which are being given over here. And these give a distinction between the Kohanim and the rest of the Hamdram, the rest of the populace. The Chizkuni says that's first you hear in this Aliyah about the responsibility and then the rights. So first, well, they have to look after the Mishkan and the Migdash and they bear responsibility. That's the responsibility. And then you hear about the rights, which are their gifts, which support them in doing such as well. The Malbim also points out that they were giving matonos before now, but on a more voluntary basis. Then Korach then came along and said, hey, this is not fair. Why are we not getting this as well? We're a Levim. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I'm going to formalize this relationship, and I'm going to explain to you exactly how it works, and that's what's being said over here. What exactly are the matnos, 24 matnos kohuna? I listed the ones which are evident in the pshat of the psukim, but to list all 24 of them, there's actually the way that the Rabbi B'chai breaks them down, is that there are 10 which are outside of Yerushalayim, 4 in Yerushalayim and 10 in the Migdash. So let's go through them very, very briefly. There's the Chatas Behema, the Chatas Ha'oif, those belong to the Kohen, the Ashram Vada, the Ashram Toloi, Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, Lug Shemel Shalmei Tzora, Shtei Alechem, Lechem Aponi, Aponim Shirei Menachos, and Moisar HaOmer. Those are all the ones which are in the Migdash. Okay, those 10 gifts belong to the Kohen, they are brought to the Migdash. Then there are 4 in Yerushalayim, and those are Bechorim, Bikurim, the Ael Nazir, the ram brought by a Nazir at the end of his service, and the Oros Kedoshim, the skins of Kodshim. And the 10 which are Bigvulin, which means outside of Yerushalayim, is Trumas Meiser, Chala, Reishis Ageiz, that's the first of the shearings, Matnois, which are the Zerah Lechaim and Keva, which are the specific parts of the animal, Pidgin Aben, they have the right to do the Pidgin Aben, Peter Chamor, the redemption of the firstborn donkey, Stei Achuza, when a field goes back or in after the Yovel, there's the possibility of the coin being a beneficiary, Stei Charamim, a Cherem field, which is donated to the Beis Hamikdash, goes to the coin, and Gezel Hager. So those are the 24, as the Rabbeinu Bachaya outlines it. All of these, not being all of them consistent all at one time, but adding up together to create a support system, essentially a tax to support the spiritual leaders of the community. With this, we close the 6th Aliyah. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.